4. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are ready for a good weekend. Nice, hopefully laid-back weekend. Again, no Alabama football this weekend. It is a bye week, but plenty of other football to tune into. If you guys are like me, just like watching football itself. Had a game last night, NFL. I don't know, Reed, if you got to watch it, but, man, Tua and the Dolphins right now, man, it's just I don't know, man. They're struggling, obviously, but just can't put my finger on it. Just, there seems to be like a disconnect. I mean, the whole, you got Tyreek Hill. I mean, the head coach, Mike Daniel. I mean, like, just something seems off with the whole group right now. Maybe they'll turn it around, but right now not looking so great. But anyway, a weekend full of football, which is good. And you know, like Reed said, probably going to be kicked back and enjoying some football. So I don't know if you guys are into Reed, do you bet at all? Do you do any of that?
Nope, never do. I have a designated guy that asked me for like picks, and so I'll give it to him because every time I do it, I seem to just lose money.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, for our betting folks, I was trying to see what games might be worth even really, I guess, looking at. I mean, you got Florida, Miami, but I don't know, man. I mean, I feel Miami's pretty solid in that one, but I think Auburn, Oklahoma probably is the biggest one that I think that's probably grabbing the most attention. Wouldn't you say, Reed, this weekend? I mean, other than that, I don't really see anything that's, I don't know, other than Florida, Miami. Any other games you think that might be worth kind of really tuning into, betting or not? But
probably for me, it's probably, yeah, like you said, I'm really looking forward to the Jackson Arnold returning back to Oklahoma. That matchup, and like the whole in-state Miami, Florida as well, like you said. Outside of that, maybe South Carolina, Missouri game could kind of be sneaky there. But no, besides that, it's, you know, just like I said, ready to kick back because there's no Bama football.
Yeah. You know, and I was hoping Florida State would at least have somebody to play. That way I could get a better gauge on who they are. I know we're past Florida State, don't get me wrong, but I'm just very curious. You know, especially after the way the guy was talking, man, I'm really just curious how they end up playing out. Again, we know they're in the ACC. They don't play anybody, especially this weekend. They play Kent State. So, I mean, golly, man, it must be nice just being in a conference like that. LSU's playing SLU. Yeah. Texas, Sam Houston. But you're right. I would probably say South Carolina, Missouri, Reed. Could be one to watch. I know, obviously, we play both of those teams, so I'll definitely be tuning into that, kind of getting an early preview on both of them, because we obviously have to see them at some point down the road. So a little bit slower weekend in college football, but the reason I asked about the betting thing is because I'm not gonna lie, man, I've been having an itch for, again, obviously I know it's illegal here, and I don't bet. I never have until last year, but something about doing a little underdog stuff, right? Like the what is it called? Like the legs or parlay? Is that right?
I guess they go by both, like parlays and legs.
Same thing, yeah. So it just kind of made it. I don't know. It added another element. Like I like watching football to just watch it, right, and see what defenses are being played, what people are doing, what moves are being done, right, like stuff like that. But that other element was a little exciting to me. I'm not gonna lie to you. So I asked because I was like, man, I wonder what games people really tuned into to do some of that stuff. But I'll be honest with you, the slate we got this weekend, I'll probably wait till it's a little bit more exciting. But, yeah, and again, anybody that's out there, again, do that at your own. Again, I don't bet like that. I know some people are into that. A lot of people are into that. Just make sure you guys do it responsibly. To me, the leg stuff was so much harder Because you'd have to pick at least three things. And I swear I'd always get two of the three. And it would always be like the third one that missed was like what I thought was going to be the most, at least the easiest one to hit. So I don't know. I still think there's some type of rigging going on, but who knows? Anyway, but I definitely will be tuning into that Auburn-Oklahoma game. Again, we play both of those teams. That's going to be a good matchup. And then South Carolina-Missouri, we play both of those teams as well. So you got some decent football this weekend. Not great, not a great slate, but it is what it is. If you guys see the title here on YouTube, I got early Georgia preview. Again, we'll dive into them a little bit. I've been watching some tape on Georgia, so I have a couple of thoughts here. Probably get into that a little bit later. But it is a free-for-all Friday, meaning we can go anywhere and everywhere. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. If you guys want to get on the action, I'll be honest with you. We only got a few little things that I had planned. I was going to probably go to the latest episode of the Dynasty because they covered a lot, and there's a lot of things that AJ Trent and Chris talked about on there that I wanted just to listen, react to, and break down. So that being said, we definitely will do that since it is a little bit slower day with the bye week. However, we were supposed to have a guest. Unfortunately, that fell through. We will push that. But when we do get them on, it will be really exciting. Don't worry. But that being said, we got plenty of time to go to you guys if you guys want to jump in and have questions. I know you guys in the chat as well. We'll definitely hit those. Plus, you got some SEC news and announcements in terms of scheduling and all that stuff. I know we maybe briefly touched on it, but we've got some more updates on that. So we'll touch that when we come back. But we will kick things off listening to the Dynasty. But again, feel free to interrupt it at any point because, again, just some stuff I want to hit from there. We're just going to play through it and react as we go. But we will take calls and questions and all that in the meantime as well, because it is a free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport expert, your home for those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they take care of it. Clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. Make sure you guys check them out if you have it. Midtown Village, where you find them here in Tuscaloosa, or you can always go to their website and find more information, schedule an appointment, right? Read more about it, all that good stuff. Find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so before we go to the Dynasty latest episode again, Chris Stewart, AJ, and Trent Richardson, did want to hit on this news because this was announced, I guess this one's from today. But anyway, so I think they kind of mentioned it yesterday. Anyway, so in terms of future opponents, right, for the SEC, remember the new way it goes, there's no more East or West. It's basically just, you know, one whole thing, but you do have your permanent opponents, and then you have your rotational opponents. And so we got some updates on the future permanent opponents. And so this was a press release from the SEC. It says they are set to announce 4 years of football opponents on a television special. So Southeastern Conference will announce the football opponents for the next 4 years for every SEC school on a 1-hour television special. SEC Now 26 through 29 football opponents reveal, scheduled for Tuesday, again the 23rd, at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, on SEC Network and ESPN2. The show will be hosted by SEC Network's Alyssa Lang with commentary and analysis from Gene Chizik, Paul Feinbaum, Greg McElroy, and Ben Watson. It's going to provide matchups and sites of SEC football games for the next 4 years. The dates of games for the 26th SEC football season will be announced in December. And the SEC announced in August that it would begin playing that 9-game football schedule beginning in 26, which obviously we had been playing 8 since 1992. Under the new format, each school will play 3 annual opponents, focused on maintaining traditional rivalries, and each team's remaining 6 will rotate among the remaining conference schools. The new format will allow each team to play every other SEC program at least once every 2 years, and every opponent home and away in 4 years, making it the most fair and balanced schedule in the history of the conference. So, Reed, maybe this was a little bit different than what we were talking about initially, but also the announcement of those permanent, I guess, opponents, or I guess they're including that in this. Is that what that sounds like to you? They're just going to include those permanent opponents in this whole announcement?
Yeah, the more I got to looking at it, that's what it's sounding like to me.
Yeah, yeah. And so let me ask you this, though. Did we not already have, like, the permanent opponents when they initially went to this new conference model, like, a couple years ago? Remember, I mean, like, when we first broke away from East and West, I thought we already established the whole permanent opponents, right? Because, I mean, Alabama had, obviously, Auburn, Tennessee, and was LSU the third one, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, so, Reed, how is that different? Do you know? Or, like, I'm confused. Are they resetting that? Do teams have the chance of having their three teams changed? Is that what that sounds like?
I'm not exactly, like, certain, but what it sounds like to me, like, let's think of this outside of, like, Alabama, but think about this as the SEC. What if there was certain teams like Oklahoma and Texas who are relatively new, don't have a set three that they will play every year?
Fair. Fair. I guess that could be, because maybe they might not have been in when we did that. I don't even remember the timeline, man. I get my years mixed up. Because they joined, what, 2 years? 23 was their first year, because that's when we played them. We lost at home. That was their first year in the SEC. So that would be, well, I guess, the 23 season, 24. I guess this is year three for them already, right?
Yeah.
Dang, that flew by. So this year three for them. But wait, that year, and I think that was the first year, though, that
yeah,
they,
I think,
they
I
had.
Think it was.
They,
that, they got but that's rid just of like the, at least the conclusion I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so who knows? But I got this pulled up, too. So this article says each team will have three permanent opponents on rivals on the schedule. But with a twist, those three opponents will be reviewed every four. Okay, so these are going hand in hand. So that's pretty much what I was thinking. But I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to be spreading fake news out here. But so every 4 years, I guess they will review those quote-unquote permanent opponents. So they technically aren't really permanent. It's on a four-year basis. Which I'm not gonna lie, I mean, I'm not too mad at that, because at least they're just reviewing it. If it ain't broke, I mean, they're not gonna change it. But obviously, I mean, it's good to review it, because who knows? Maybe one of the quote unquote rivalries is kind of falling off or not. I don't know. But let's look at it. So it says possibility of further scheduling changes beyond 2030. The three opponents will be referred to as annual opponents. It's expected the SEC will review the schedule on that Tuesday show. We hit that already. And then it says here, this is this website, but this is their projections for these permanent opponents. So, Reed, I'm going to read some of these out. I'm going to see what you think, and I want our listeners to kind of chime in too. So, right off the bat, Alabama expected to remain the same, Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. Let me read a couple more, then I want to go back to that. Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee. I got some thoughts on that one for sure. Let's see who else might be somewhat. Let's see who Texas has. Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Arkansas, right? Sounds right to me. LSU, Florida, Alabama, Ole Miss. Let me jump back real quick, Reed. Well, let me ask you about this one first. Georgia. I feel like Georgia, Tennessee, is there anyone on that one you would replace, though? I guess Florida, Georgia, you got to keep that. You had the whole, you know, what was the game? What do they call it down in Jacksonville? I'm drawing a blank of what they call that.
I'm drawing a blank as well.
You know what I'm talking about, though. You can't get rid of that one. Georgia, Auburn is always, you know, good, right? I mean, they're close. And then Georgia, South Carolina, I feel like it's solid, but I feel like Georgia, Tennessee's always kind of been a little something recently, but I don't know. I guess those are solid. Any of these, I mean, you can see the stream. Any of these stand out to you that you maybe would consider changing? I mean, the obvious one we're going to talk about here in a second is Alabama, right? Which, I mean, this is what we've had, Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. I guess we can just go ahead and start there. Anybody feel different about that? Anybody think we should replace one? I know some people sometimes throw out Mississippi State as maybe like one that they would like to see a little bit more of. Ole Miss has been thrown out, really the two Mississippi schools. Other than Georgia, I feel like would be the third one that people have kind of thrown out like they'd want to see. I guess my question to listeners is, who would you want Alabama's three permanent opponents? I know we've done this in the past, but we got to bring it back because they're kind of they're reviewing it, right? Who would you guys want? Reed, if you had a choice for Alabama, who would the three permanent opponents be, or annual opponents, if you had a choice for Alabama?
See, I've kind of been going back and forth, especially after hearing Gary's thoughts and talking to him about it. I think Auburn and Tennessee are a given. And like LSU, Gary is on the side of the Mississippi State because of the like that long rivalry we've always had. But then like as a student and as a fan, like when Dixie Landolite plays and we're calling out three teams and those three teams are Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, it kind of feels like it has to be those three, you know?
Yeah. See, okay, so I didn't even know he mentioned Mississippi State. I remember, I forgot who said that, but I'll be honest with you. I think older folks, no offense, Gary, but older folks that know more about like the history of stuff, I think they probably have a better idea on that Alabama-Mississippi State deal. Me being younger, I'll be honest with you. Since I've been a fan of Alabama, you know, and I'll be honest, I really didn't keep up with Alabama until 2011 type area. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't really – I was born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina. My dad played for Carolina. I mean, I pretty much knew everything about the Gamecocks. But what I'm getting at is, even if you go back to, like, I guess how you can call me a Saban fan, or what was it called? Not a Saban fan, but, like, that era. Like, I started being a fan slash taking notice around them. I was getting recruited in 2012, 2013-ish. That being said, when I think of Alabama, like – I know Alabama and Mississippi State with us being close is one thing, but I don't know like the true history behind it. I just don't. And I'll be 30 in a year, right? So I feel like a lot of people around my age, even maybe slightly older, probably view it the same way. Older folks that have a better understanding of the history of that stuff probably do feel a bit differently. But to me, when I think, like, and I agree with you, Auburn, Tennessee, I mean, those are locked. I mean, no, those are, that's set. But LSU, to me, like, that would be that third team, because that's when I think back of all the years that I've been watching Alabama, I think Alabama, LSU, right? Like, even, like, when I was playing here, like, we knew the Mississippi State game was something because a lot of those guys were, you know, it's a close school. But the LSU game just always had that factor to it, right? And I don't know if that's because Coach Saban came from there. He won a championship there, the recent history. But, like, or even the fact that we had so many guys from LSU. I mean, our roster was comprised of literally a ton of guys from LSU. Not LSU, I'm sorry, Louisiana, excuse me. But to me, I don't know. If it was up to me, I would leave LSU. But I do respect the opinion of people that have a better, I guess, insight on the history of like a Mississippi State. Ole Miss, I don't mind, but I feel like that's more so a recent thing. And I could be wrong. But I feel like that's more of a recent thing, too. I mean, you got Lane there. I feel like that kind of makes it feel a little bit more of a closer rivalry than it probably really is. Or even before that, with the whole, when they beat us a couple times in a row with Hugh Freeze. Outside of that, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if you got better history on this, but to me, I feel like that's why that matchup feels like it's kind of, I don't know, it comes up when you talk about this. I don't know any other. Oh, Georgia. But see, to me, again, I think Georgia falls in that category like Ole Miss. I feel like that's more of just a recent thing. You got a former coach, head coach of that school, recent battles between them. I don't know. But I guess LSU somewhat is like that, too. So I don't know. But I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think. 205-342-9904 is the number. We'd love to get y'all's thoughts on who you feel like Alabama should have for their three annual opponents. And obviously, you guys in the chat, man, go ahead and drop it, man. Drop y'all's three annual opponents in the chat, and we'll discuss it after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Downtown. Don't miss it. Free entry, cold beer, and great times at Government Plaza. Details at TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Get your life back, baby. Stephen Mesrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
New Floors to Go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so talking about this SEC scheduling again, the big kickoff party or the scheduling party, whatever it is, I mean, I'm just trying to make some money on TV, I guess, will be Tuesday, but we're kind of previewing, I guess, again, these aren't the set list. This is just like the expectations or what people believe will be the case. But anyway, we're discussing Alabama and their expected opponents. Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, which is what we've had right now. I think that's probably set, but I just was curious on that third one, right? If you guys would change LSU with anybody, which I'm curious. I guess we can get a little vote. Would you guys change LSU with anybody else, or do you leave it the same? It seems like most of you guys probably felt to leave it the same. Dwight said LSU didn't really become a rival until Saban. Mississippi State was more of a rival before that, which that's what I figured was the case. And again, no disrespect to our listeners a little bit older than me, but I just figured for me, like millennials, people that are probably up to like later 30s, like I think most of us would probably view LSU as probably more of a rival because, again, the last 25 years, does it go back that far? Maybe not that far, last 20 years or so, right? I just feel like LSU has been a little bit more of one than Mississippi State, but obviously before that, wouldn't shock me if there's definitely more history there. But I don't know. Who do you want to appease, the older crowd or the millennials, the younger crowd? I don't know. But I ain't mad at it. Before we go to the phone lines, are there any other teams on this list, Reed, that maybe stuck out to you? I guess one that I'm seeing right now, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky. I feel like swap Kentucky with Tennessee, personally. Tennessee... You talk about having it easy. Well, I guess Vanderbilt's better now, but Tennessee, Alabama, obviously that one's tough, but Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I think Coach Saban came out initially when they were talking about this, and he almost was saying, like, what did he say? He mentioned, like, LSU. I remember people were kind of confused, but he was almost questioning, like, why ours was set to be so, you know, tough or something like that. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong, but I see Jolene in the chat. She says, we need Mississippi State, even though the Cowbells are annoying. I mean, the good news is, guys, regardless, you'll play all these teams. It's just who do you want on an annual basis? It's funny enough, my brother, he does a lot of work over at Mississippi State, and he actually was just voluntarily, how do you word this? Voluntarily accepted, not accepted, but like initiated into a frat. Because he does a lot of DJing over there, and they asked for him to be an honorary member. So I'm cool with Mississippi State, man. I mean, the Cowbells, I'm not going to lie. He brought home a Cowbell after he had his whole ceremony and everything. It's kind of the craziest thing. I mean, he's technically in a frat, the weirdest thing. But just because it's him, I'm not kidding. I don't register. But anyway, Cowbells definitely were very annoying, but it's an experience, though. I like Mississippi State. I wouldn't be mad if we swapped LSU and Mississippi State, but I would say maybe this. Maybe leave LSU for now, like for these 4 years, and then maybe 2030 when they reassess, maybe you revive that Mississippi State one. But I am getting a clear idea now. I think younger folks are going to probably point to LSU. Again, no disrespect. It's just, I think it's just more of like a kind of what we grew up seeing versus folks a little bit older are probably going to go to Mississippi State because of the history there. Makes total sense. Makes total sense. All right, let's see what you guys think. 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up first. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Kristen, how are you?
I'm good, man.
I appreciate you calling me old. Thank you very much.
Listen, I know I just probably ticked off all our listeners, but listen, I was trying to just be completely transparent because here's the thing. I think that's literally just going to be the biggest difference. Like, I know me and anybody else around my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, we just think back of Alabama playing LSU, right? I mean, like, frequently, good games, right? I mean, they've won championships. We won championships. They won with Coach Saban, even recently with Joe Burrow. We know, right? That's always been a thing. And then I know just from my personal experience, like when we, anytime it was LSU week, and whether it was because Cochran's roots from, Louisiana LSU, whether it was Coach Saban's background there, all the guys on the team, there was just a heavy emphasis anytime we played LSU. And it felt to me like our games against LSU felt, I wouldn't say like, necessarily up there quite, not quite up there with Auburn and Tennessee, but pretty dang close, right? At least from a player perspective, like for us, like that game week prep, like the locker room, like just the way that the vibe of that game. So, but fill me in, Tommy, you know, tell me what history there is with the, with the Mississippi State, Alabama.
A longer history than just Coach Saban. Coach Charlie Mack, who's a coach a long time, for LSU, playing for Coach Bryant at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They were big friends and was a big rivalry. People don't know this, and this was before my time, but I read the history of it. Georgia and LSU wasn't a big rivalry in Alabama. When Tulane and Georgia Tech was in the SEC, they left in the late 50s, early 60s. Alabama played them more. I mean, Alabama and Tulane and Georgia Tech was a big rivalry. Then they went independent. The LSU came more and more on the schedule. But the four teams, Alabama played the most in the SEC in the history of Alabama football is Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Auburn. I remember when Alabama played Ole Miss and didn't count as the SEC game. Well, we played
what year?
When Coach Bryant was coaching.
Oh. So you're talking about back then.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, then you have Tulane and Georgia Tech, right? There was a 10-year conference for like, there was 40 years that Austin saw in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me about
Alabama, Mississippi State though. Like I'm like, so that goes back. You're saying like the Bryan years?
Oh, it go back farther than that. We almost played them 9 times. Go ahead.
So no, sorry. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So. You would say back then the rivalry between Alabama and Mississippi State was equivalent to who nowadays, right? So, like, you look at Alabama-Auburn, obviously that goes way, way back. How about Alabama-Tennessee, right? Which rivalry would be older between that one and Mississippi State? I'm genuinely asking. I'm trying to learn. I don't know
the
stuff.
Well, Tennessee, they've been playing most because for some reason it was a big deal. Alabama played Tennessee against the little neighbor up there. And it's just been one of those rivalries. I mean, I would say Tennessee, but Mississippi State was a closer SEC school to the University of Alabama. And it was just a mudslide over there.
I figure there definitely is plenty of history, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. That's why I see Zakina in the chat. It says, Christian, seriously, like question mark, exclamation point. It's like, I promise I'm not trying to offend anybody. I genuinely know. Like, I speak for people around my age, right? I guess I'm a borderline millennial because 96 is like one of the last years, right? And anyway, I just know like people around my age, LSU is going to be more of that. Like when we hear like more of a rival, we're going to think LSU. But I totally understand that you're talking about the history of it. Mississippi State probably runs a lot deeper than that. But I'll be honest with you, man. As long as I've got Auburn and Tennessee for Alabama as those annual ones, I'll be honest. If it's not LSU, which I'm pretty positive it will be, I wouldn't be mad at it. If it was Mississippi State, I wouldn't be mad at it. Just like Julian was talking about the Cowbells, them being right there, like that was a fun matchup playing those guys too. I wouldn't be mad at it, honestly.
Just 90 miles separate both schools, and right. There's a lot of people in Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, come over here and work in Tuscaloosa and work, and vice versa. And the running joke was, if you went to a vet, you went to Mississippi State. You didn't go to Auburn vet because they were closer. And a lot of veterinarians there now were from Mississippi State. And you have family members that went over there and went to the, Auburn and Mississippi State, people over here are more intertwined than anybody else, really. Maybe besides Auburn, I mean.
That makes sense. No, and it makes sense. Like I said, I wouldn't be mad at either one. In my head, in recent years, LSU to me, that game has just always been a little bit more exciting than Alabama, Mississippi State in the past 20 years. Personally, I'm just being completely honest with you. But I understand there's definitely history that goes way back that definitely probably makes that game a lot more significant for a lot of other people outside of me and a lot of the other guys or girls that are around my age that grew up just seeing that Alabama-LSU matchup.
Well, Alabama had dominated Mississippi State in football.
This year they're kind of making a little bit of a comeback, right?
Well,
I hope they do, man. I want to see them do well, man. I know that the Chase goes or is about to finish up at Mississippi State, man. Like I said, my brother does a lot of business over there, man. Shout out to Mississippi State. I want to see them do better, but
They got the best ice cream. Yeah.
That would be the last place I would think I would go to get some ice cream in the state of Mississippi.
Oh, no.
Maybe I shouldn't judge them, I guess.
Yeah, you should ask your brother about Mississippi State Creamery.
I don't even know. He's never mentioned it, but I'll ask him about it.
Yeah.
I'll definitely ask him about it.
Yeah. You hear about Penn State and Michigan State about their creamery, all that, because they ran there and still Isaac Coulter said, but let me tell you something. Yeah. It makes you forget Bluebells. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, wait, Bluebell? Like the ice cream brand?
Yeah, that's good.
Wait, is that based out of Mississippi? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it's my voice.
Oh, wow. Well, that's saying something. Now, my dad might have a comment on that. I have to ask him next time he's on here because he's a big ice cream guy. And I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure you can't disrespect Bluebell with him. I mean, that's like at the top of the list. But you're saying it's better, brother. I don't know.
Is this a good one? I mean, they have great seasons. It's a dairy product. Oh, let me tell you something. You need to go on with them. Oh, yeah.
Trust me, I will. I love ice cream, man. I don't eat sugar. I don't really eat sweets, but I'll make an exception for some ice cream like that, man. Tommy, we got to hit a break, brother. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. You too, buddy. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Take care, man. All right. Good deal. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough from Bama 247 Sports. We'll talk to Brent Beer, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9142-7222
or visit them online at catfishheaventuscaloosa.com to check out their menu and order ahead. Catfish Heaven, where every bite feels just right.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers or storms through the evening hours. The high today, 93. Tonight's low, 68. For tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of an afternoon shower. The high, 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Art Sport Experts. We've been discussing potential annual opponents for SEC teams that they are going to announce on Tuesday. Now, again, the list that we're talking about and looking at are just predictions, right? So nothing set, but really have been discussing Alabama's potential three, which is what it's been the last couple of years since they've been doing this. And a correction real quick. I don't know if I said this on air or not, but Dwight and company in the chat were 100% right. When we lost Texas in 23, they were in the SEC. And I remember now they ended up winning the Big 12 and going to the playoffs themselves. But, man, I was definitely wrong. You're right. Last year was their first year. But in terms of everything else, I think we pretty much hit on that. Mike, I promise we're coming to you. We just had Mike pulled up on the stream, man. Got a good picture with him and his sons when they came here last weekend. And got to show them around the football complex. So I was really grateful to meet him and his family. Awesome people. And get to do that. But I want to give you plenty of time, Mike. We're running against this top of the hour. So we'll just hit this here in a couple minutes. And we come back, let you roll on hour number two. That being said, I don't think there's anything else on this list, Reed, that really stood out other than I think maybe South Carolina. I would probably throw in Tennessee for them. We've been talking about Mississippi State so much. Their predictions are, or their predicted, I guess, opponents would be Ole Miss, which you got to have that one for sure, Oklahoma, and Auburn. Reed, do you know much about Mississippi State? I should have asked Tommy this when he was on the line. Do they have history with Oklahoma and Auburn, or is that kind of just them being given a game?
That I'm not too familiar with, but I was thinking a little bit about the whole Tennessee thing. It's like so many teams, like, of course, here it's saying Alabama, Vandy, and Kentucky, but like you said, like Georgia, and like there's so many teams that, like, I guess I could say that, you know, Tennessee and this other team have just a good matchup, you know?
South Carolina or Georgia, to me, I feel like would be a better pick than Kentucky, personally. I don't know. Like, to me, I think Tennessee, I think South Carolina, I think, or Georgia. That one's kind of weird. And again, this is this prediction here. Probably should go back to see, like, who their three have been the past couple years since they initially did this whole thing. I was trying to see if anything else stood out before we hit this top of the hour break. I'll be honest with you, I think that's probably about I guess everything that stands out for me here, but I don't know. We'll definitely continue talking about this. But first, we're going to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we go back to the phone lines. We got Mike first. We got Ragged as well. We'll get to you guys. Plus, still got to take an early preview at this Georgia game. We will also hear from the Dynasty's latest episode. AJ had some interesting comments and thoughts, as well as Trent and Chris. So I definitely want to dive into that, react to that as well. But it's a free-for-all Friday, so we're going everywhere and anywhere with you guys right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sports expert. Excuse me, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21. Josh Allen throwing three touchdowns and 213 yards through the air. Tua Tagovailoa threw two touchdowns, one interception, and that interception came with 3 minutes left. It pretty much sealed the game for Buffalo. Dolphins are now 1-14 in the last 15 against Bills. The Dodgers announced the three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw will retire at the end of this season, his final home start coming Friday against the Giants. The Dodgers beat the Giants on Thursday 2-1. The Mariners and Astros now tied for first in the AL West after Seattle beat Kansas City 2-0. The Guardians 3.5 games back from the AL Central leading Tigers after a 3-1 victory at Detroit, and Cleveland's won 7 games in a row. Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels did not practice for the second day in a row as he's recovering from a knee sprain. And the Indiana Fever and Las Vegas Aces advanced to the second round of the WNBA playoff.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
The Court of Downtown. Don't miss it. Free entry, cold beer, and great times at Government Plaza. Details at TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again, it was Christian Miller. Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We've been talking about the scheduling that's coming up Tuesday again. New 9-game. I guess we need to put more emphasis on that. Remember, it is now a 9-game SEC schedule. With that being said, you have an extra SEC opponent, meaning you will probably play, which it is set up to where you'll play everybody. What did it say? Home and away throughout the course of 4 years. But I guess having that extra SEC game on the schedule also is exciting because it adds another opponent. So even if the team that you want to be that third, I guess, permanent opponent or annual opponent is not selected, you still will definitely get to see your, I guess, team play that opponent at least twice in the span of 4 years. So I like what they're doing. I think at the end of the day, regardless of the annual stuff, we're just talking about this for fun, it's Free For All Friday. But regardless, fans, they win with the extra game. Now, yes, it probably makes things a little bit more difficult, right? We know the gauntlet that the SEC is. But as a fan, I mean, you know, instead of us having to say, oh, man, like we got ULM or Wisconsin, right? We can actually enjoy another SEC matchup that you weren't initially going to see with that added game. So that is one of the biggest things that comes away from the new 9-game scheduling. So shout out to them for finally getting that done. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Mike from New York up next. Mike, what's up, man?
I'm going to keep the old guy theme rolling today. Right now, so
don't get mad at me, Mike. Don't get mad at me.
Oh no, and we got Pat right behind me, so we're good to go. So hey, I would say, first of all, thank you again for last Friday. That just topped off the whole trick. I don't want to bring the place, but can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day. I really appreciate it.
Man, absolutely, I would
say, going back the last 35 years, I a lot of the fun games that I've watched in the SEC has been freaking Alabama and Florida. They just seem like they're always, no matter how bad of a team they got or we got, the games always end up high scoring, back and forth, and crazy. So I'd like to see somehow them getting on our rotation every year. I get the Auburn thing, which is our rival. I know college football is about tradition. It's kind of what I love about it. But once every 20 years or so, these guys catch lightning in a bottle. Okay? Other than that, they're a mediocre team. From what I remember, I don't see the benefit of us playing them every year. I don't see the benefit of us playing them every year. Wait, hold on.
Let me make sure I'm catching this right. You're talking about Auburn right now, Mike?
I'm talking about
Auburn. Wow, wait.
You're
stirring the pot today, Mike. You're stirring the pot, Mike. That's crazy.
What's the benefit of us playing them?
I mean, the whole tradition, right? I think the tradition aspect. If you're saying from a competitive standpoint, I mean, I hear what you mean. They've been very inconsistent. I'll give you that. Yep. But I think from the tradition standpoint, from everything that comes from that game, I definitely believe that you have to leave. Mike, that's the Iron Bowl, Mike. People say that's literally the best rivalry in college football, Mike.
Okay, let me be a jerk right now. How many of you enjoy that Notre Dame Air Force game, Army game, that are traditions? How many of you enjoy that? I mean, come on. They're not competitive.
That's a little bit different, Mike. That's a little bit different.
I know it. I'm just stirring the pie. Leave them on there. But I do love the Florida game. I'd like to see them a little bit more often. Hey, off topic real quick.
Sure.
Hey, there they go. I told you should have brought your dog last Friday.
Listen, I have the landscapers going outside, and they're acting as if they're on patrol. And I'm sorry.
Yeah,
guys.
There they gotta patrol. I know, like, baseball teams do, like, fantasy week and stuff like that. I came home and I was, like, telling people about our experience, stuff like that. People would pay. I don't know if like major colleges, for, you know, fundraising or something like that, bringing people in off season, like, you know, older guys or whatever like that, letting them play, letting them coach with some other guy. I don't mean pad them up, do like a flag football or something like that, but, you know, let them, you know, walk through the, you know, Malmore Center and you know, see the weight rooms and all that stuff like that. You know, have maybe bring an old coach back or something like that, coach each side of the team, some former players or something.
So you're saying like an alumni type flag football game, but raise money for like NIL? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I would pay my way down there, and I would pay up to $5,000 for 3 days to do something like that.
Dang. Well, I'll put it together, I'll do it through the Miller's Edge. That way, you guys are sponsoring the show. Then it benefits the show, and I'll put the event together. If you're that serious about it, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll say this though, Mike. They do have like an alumni type flag football game that they do during the spring. Right. But how do I say this without sounding bad? Normally it's like older, alumni a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they like bring in probably a lot of the people that, that you guys would probably be wanting to see fool around and do that. However, I don't think it's very like, because they do it through like the A Club. Again, shout out to BJ. They did a phenomenal job. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I'm sure it's probably been better than I'm describing it. But I get what you're saying. And I do think like if you amplified it, you made it a little bit more, like you just said, like bringing like two coaches, they pick their teams and you have a little bit more of a mix of like some more younger guys that are probably going to be a little bit more of a draw. You still can feature some of the older guys. Again, no, I feel like I'm attacking the older crowd today. Guys, this sounds terrible, man. Let me just stop where I'm at. But you get what I'm saying. Like, you got guys like Reggie and O.J. Howard and Bo Scarborough who are right down the road at UWA right now. You bring in that crew, right? Ronnie Clark, right? Now you got more guys that are around my age that are done playing where they have the time to do that stuff. Before, those guys were so busy playing the league, they weren't free to do that stuff. You know, I've been thinking about something too. It's a little bit different, but I don't want to spill all my stuff, but it involves a different sport that commonly has tournaments. I was thinking about trying to put something together around here that featured a lot of the guys a little bit more around my age, some of the older guys as well, but and I think that'd be kind of cool too. But like I said, I can't say too much because unfortunately, you say one thing, people take your idea and they run with it. And know, I wouldn't mind doing something like that too.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like I said, I'm talking about like getting the fans involved and have them do it like a fantasy camp. So
That'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I talked to a couple guys up here. They pay it. I mean, they're not fans of other schools and stuff like that. But yeah,
Wait, so you want us to play other teams? Wait, will we play other schools? So would LSU put a team together?
So we just have a travel
flag football team of us old washed up football players?
Wait,
that's what Tom Brady's doing, right? Did you see the news? Isn't he just, I guess, partnered up with the guy from, what is it, Dubai, who's literally buying like every sport in the world, like UFC, WWE. Allegedly, they're doing a whole flag football thing now.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'd be good at that. No, I'm talking like baseball has like a fantasy camp where like the average guy pays like $4,000 and he goes down there and they bring in a couple of players and maybe a couple of coaches and they have the people play against each other. Like the fans play against each other and they get tours of the, you know, facilities and, you know.
Oh, wait, so we would be playing you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you wanted to, it wouldn't be very close, but. No, usually if they play against, they usually play against each other, maybe filter in a couple guys. But yeah, it's just the experience and, you know, I don't know. They're like, wow, what, were we on some fantasy camp or something? I'm like, no, we just got a tour of the stadium. So, but.
No. I'm picking up what you're putting down. That might be something, man. Like I said, man, you never know. Your idea might just be, somebody might be listening to your idea and somebody might. Taking a run with it, man. Who knows, brother?
I know Courtney Morgan listens to the show. He'll take it and run with it.
There's a lot of people that listen to this show. So trust me, and a lot of people. So if that ends up being a thing, we know where they got it from.
Yep, we got it. We'll have to pinpoint it for that one. But anyway, I'm gonna let Pat talk. And thanks again for last week. And we'll talk to you guys later.
See you, Mike. Appreciate you, brother. Good deal. All right, let's hit this next timeout. We come back, we keep rolling on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Got some more videos we'll get to here in a moment as well. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers or storms through the evening hours. The high today 93, tonight's low 68. For tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, a small chance of an afternoon shower. The high 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 92 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
for all Friday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right. Let's read a couple of chats we got. Jake says, energy leading up to LSU and Tennessee always felt different from a fan standpoint. I don't know if the players felt that way, too. Post-Tennessee cigars, always a blast. Yeah, man, like that tradition itself. I mean, like Auburn tradition with Iron Bowl, one of the greatest rivalries, if not the greatest rivalry in college football. That's why I feel like that one's a necessary game. And then obviously Tennessee, the history there, then the cigar tradition, right? That one's always so cool. I feel like those are a little untouchable. But like Keenan says, as much as they can't stand Auburn, it wouldn't be the same without playing them, which I definitely agree. 205-342-9904 is the number. Let's keep on rolling the phone lines. We got Ragged up next. Ragged, welcome in. Ragged, you there?
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you now. What's up, Ragged?
Wow. We're getting broke up so bad. It's pathetic.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, it's better now. I got you loud and clear. Yeah, you're good. Okay, we got you loud and clear. Go ahead.
I guess
ahead.
I got to listen to the doggone radio while I talk to you. Okay. I have a question for you.
Sure. Okay.
Wow. Okay. It must be my phone.
Yeah, like I said, we got you perfect. You can go ahead.
Here's my question. Okay, I'm just going to talk, and if you all can hear me, I want somebody to be able to try and answer this. Here's food for thought. NCAA football, college football, is no longer really the amateur sport it used to be. This is all pay-for-play right now. With this new 9-game season coming up, you know, the SEC, then here's what I propose. Why would we want to go out and pay 3 other colleges to come in and play us when I think we should have this all one league, the SEC? Since the West joined the East, and now we got Oklahoma and Texas in it, I say we go 12 SEC games. Let the rest of the nation in the Power 5 make their own leagues. Play it. Okay? I mean, if you look at the AFC, NFC, you know, North, South, East, and West, whatever, I don't care. I think we got, 5 power conferences? Okay. Y'all make your own league. Y'all play each other. Kill each other. Make it the way you want it to be. And then we have a playoff structure. With some wild cards, which would probably need to be if we only have 5 conferences or 5 leagues. I say keep it in the South, keep it in the North, keep it in the East, keep it in the West. Let's rock and roll. How hard could that be? Let's quit spending money. Let's quit spending money on other colleges. This all started from what I can remember. Coach Bryant, Bear Bryant, had a really, really good friend in John McKay, the USC Trojans. And he paid the Trojans to come out and play. He invited them. We'll pay you $200,000 to come out and play it. Well, we all know what happened that way. That started pretty much from what I can recall back in the day. Let's pay colleges to come and play it. Why? We got enough in the SEC to set up a league, play, and then let's all go to the playoffs, and that can go with all the other leagues. Why is it so hard not to get that set up right now?
Well, number one, I think you'd have a hard time convincing the coaches, Ragged. I mean, not even everybody was able to agree on just going to 9 games. And I'll just tell you from my playing experience, right? playing in the SEC is tough. It's a gauntlet. And if you look back to the COVID year, which we actually ran the table, went undefeated, won a national championship game, there's only 10 games of 12. I guarantee if you ask Coach Saban and everybody, I mean, they would probably tell you, I mean, it's probably tough as hell. I get it, though. I mean, from a competitive standpoint, I mean, that would be insane. I think it would drive more revenue, obviously, because you got good games back to back to back across the board from week one to week 12. The only thing I would say, Ragged, is I mean, these coaches will probably have concerns about knocking each other out. But I guess if you're only playing each other, and I guess the Big Ten was only playing each other, maybe that would work itself out a little bit. But I feel like, but then you miss out on some of those matchups. And I feel like, to me, like, I do like seeing Alabama go play a big team opponent, right? I do like seeing Alabama go play an ACC opponent like Florida State, the ones that are worthy of it, right? Because, you know, basically other programs with rich history that might not be in the conference. I just feel like you would miss out on some of those key matchups. So, like, I wouldn't be mad if you bumped it to maybe, say, 10 SEC games, and then the other two must be Power Four or something like that. But I'll be honest with you, they had to fight just to get SEC to go to 9 games. And I just know from a competitive standpoint, we're not going to do something that other conferences aren't going to do, because that's going to set us up for failure when it comes to trying to secure spots in the playoffs. That's really what it boils down to. If you said the Big Ten had to do the same thing, SEC might say, oh, okay, well, think about it. But the problem is, Ragged, not all conferences are created equally, right? So you look at the ACC.
Exactly. They're all wanting to say, hey, we should have been done. And we've already seen what happened to a lot of them teams. Okay, well, you got into the playoffs, you're gone. I'm saying, play each other in your own leagues and then bring it to the table for a playoff.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you're knocking each other out, you're basically going to be, if we're all playing each other in the SEC, right, and we know how good the competition is in this league, right, and you're not, exactly. You get rid of some of those. But what I'm saying is, Ragged, you're going to knock, you're getting rid of the potential of having more of your SEC teams in a playoff system, because you're going to be knocking each other out of the race, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well,
does that make sense? Because think about it. Like, that's why I said all conferences aren't created equal. Imagine a team like Florida State, right? Look at, if you told them, hey, all 12 of your games have to be in conference.
Yeah.
Compare ACC, that to a team having to play all SEC schedule. Look at how many teams are ranked in the top 25 in the SEC compared to the ACC. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be fair. Those teams in the ACC would have a much easier path.
Is that not so far away from the way the NFL is structured? I mean, let's face it, we're semi-pro football.
But Ragged, the difference is, though, pro football should be at least, right, a lot more balanced. You're talking about 32 professional teams. Now, I get, you know, you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC, and they have, and I get that there's teams like my former team, the Carolina Panthers, who we've just been bad the last whatever, ever since 2015, we've just been pretty damn bad. I get that. However, the way it works out, though, is, I mean, that's different than comparing college football, where you've got over 100 something teams, you got the Power Four conferences, but even then, those conferences aren't created equal, right? I would argue that, yes, in the NFL, there, you know, obviously there's going to be some, right, divisions that are better than others, 100%. However, there's much more parity in the NFL than there would be in college if you try to separate it like that.
All right, so let's get back to the three teams we want to play. Okay, I would like to see that shuffle around, all right? Obviously, always Auburn, always Tennessee. And I would, after the first 2 years, okay, let's go Mississippi State. This is obviously an old rivalry with us, and LSU. So, first 2 years, home and away with Mississippi State. Then, shuffle it back around, what, in 2 years, okay? Then it comes to LSU, but always keep Auburn and Tennessee. Because we're always going to end up with Georgia anyway when we get to the SEC championship. That's just the way I see it.
Right. Yeah, and then so basically what you're saying is maybe instead of every 4 years, you say every 2 years you reassess those.
Yeah, home and away, and then maybe reschedule it. Yes.
Yeah, I think in the case of like Alabama or some of these other teams, it would work. I think, look, I wouldn't be mad at that personally, but I think a lot of these schools are probably just going to stick, like those three, but maybe not. Maybe there always is one out of those three that's probably not as serious as others, which that is the case, right? I wouldn't be mad at that, but right now it's set for every 4 years, so we just got to see what they come up with. But like I said, the good news is even if the team that you were hoping for isn't selected as an annual opponent, you still are guaranteed to have your team play that team two times in the span of 4 years. Like that's how they have it set up. You will play every team in the conference at least twice in the span of 4 years, home and away, which is good.
That's what I'm looking for.
No, that's definitely good. Well, Raggy, we appreciate it, man. The good stuff as always. Nope. I hope you have a great weekend and look forward to talking next week.
Blessings upon you too. You all have a great weekend, team. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, brother. Good deal. All right, perfect timing. We're due for our next time out. We come back, we keep on rolling. I think we're freed up on the phone lines. Anybody wants to hop on, 205-342-9904. We definitely started looking a little bit at Georgia and got a little bit of a video I want to get to from the Dynasty that we'll talk about here coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch, support experts. Reed, real quick before I get to this, some of these snippets from the Dynasty's podcast, man, do you have any thoughts on Rag's proposal, a 12 game, like all SEC schedule? I know during COVID, you did see an all SEC schedule was 10 games. Alabama, ended up handling it about as well as you could, really, winning a championship and everything that they accomplished that year. But I think that just gives you a false sense of confidence, because I'm just telling you right now, I mean, to do that consistently, goodness, that would be quite the task. I mean, what would you think about something like that? I mean, obviously, I don't ever see that being the case, but I mean, what were your thoughts on some of the things he said?
Well, I can understand where he's coming from, but the prime example that I was telling Chase is think about Florida and Florida State. That rivalry that they have, that's out of conference, but it's like, I don't know, it's a game that I always look forward to toward the end of the year. And so just like those out of conference rivalries that would just never happen. And I think having an all SEC schedule would be a gauntlet for the entire SEC. There's not a week you can take a break off, which I like, but I think it does take away from certain games that, like I said, the rivalries outside of the SEC.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, that and obviously talking about just the challenges and us beating each other up and knocking each other out. I mean, again, that was literally the one thing holding back the SEC from fully committing to going to a 9-game schedule, right? Because remember, Big Ten had done it and everybody wanted the SEC to do it. But we're just saying, like, you got to understand with our conference, man, if we don't have the securities of, hey, we're not going to be punished for adding that extra game that is obviously going to be much more of a challenge than a lot of these out-of-conference games that we're scheduling. We want to make sure that we can be, I guess, confident in knowing that, it's going to be judged fairly. So knowing that whole deal and how that played such a crucial part in that process, I don't ever see it happening. And until they make it, more, I guess, create more parity, right? If there was something where we've been hearing rumors of like, oh, the SEC and the Big Ten breaking off and just forming their own deal stuff, maybe down the road, but I just don't think it's something you can really do. Just the way things are laid out now. And then it just wouldn't, again, until the ACC picks up the slack, Big 12, some of these other, conferences, schools, whatever, it would be worthless. because you end up just beating each other out, unfortunately. But definitely an interesting thought, though. Definitely something to think about. All right. Definitely want to take a little bit of an early preview at Georgia. Again, I know we've been meaning to get to this for a minute now, and definitely want to dive into some snippets, and I'll probably just weave everything in. But Reed, I don't know how much you got to you've been able to watch Georgia up to this point, but obviously they're a top-ranked team for a reason, right? Latest game, they go on the road, face what I thought has been a pretty solid Tennessee team. Now, again, they had their share of ups and downs in the game. Started the game extremely hot. I mean, literally the first three drives, I think their quarterback was like 14 of 14, over 200 yards. And they just looked, I mean, they were just cutting through Georgia like a hot knife through butter, right? But Georgia's going to be Georgia. They're going to adjust. They're going to adapt. They started, getting their stuff together. The offense was giving them some opportunities. And they capitalized on some mistakes, came up with some interceptions in the game, kept themselves in it. Tennessee missed a field goal. They ended up finding a way to finish the game. And when I look at this matchup, Reed, I'll be honest, I think that's definitely going to be one of the biggest keys in the game. I mean, I think when you look at where we're at right now, again, not going back to week one, but the last 2 weeks, where we're at as a football team, we're resembling what myself and a lot of others thought this football team would be this season, right? Offensively, I think we're really firing. Ty Simpson, just seeing the confidence just grow week in and week out. I mean, he's playing some of his best ball right now through just three short weeks or three games. And look, I think they've got a great challenge on their hands, right? Can they carry this over to Georgia on the road about a week from now, right? That's the biggest question, because they've done it at home. They've responded since week one the right way, but they haven't been tested yet again in terms of going on the road and traveling with that same mentality, that same process, and that same standard. So that's going to be big. But in terms of looking at Georgia, starting with their offense, obviously, Gunnar Stockton was a guy going into the year, didn't really necessarily threaten you with his arm too much, at least just watching him. But I will say, after watching him in that Tennessee game, man, he definitely played really well. He can make the throws. He made some really nice throws in that game. He does a nice job just, running and operating that offense. Obviously, we know he's an athletic guy, not, Jalen Milroe, not a Castellanos type runner, but a guy that's got sneaky athleticism, kind of how we talk about Ty. But they do, like using them in the quarterback run game, which is that plus running game we talk about a whole bunch. So that's another dynamic. I view their offense as a very, very balanced offense, right? They try to run the football. Last couple of years, their running game has not been what it was in the past, but they'll still get to it. They do it a number of different ways. But that's definitely going to be key. And I know a lot of people have been talking about their offensive line play. If you really watch the tape, though, Reed, I'll be honest with you. Outside of their right tackle, I mean, they've actually been pretty solid with their offensive line. The right tackle definitely struggled. But for the most part, he was the biggest issue. I didn't really see too many other issues out of the other guys. I'm not saying they're perfect, but for the most part, they are pretty solid. Now, I need to keep watching it more and more and really focus on them specifically in some of these other games. But if you just go back and watch, at least from what I've seen, line actually has been pretty decent. Looking at some of their numbers, I mean, they still aren't running the ball necessarily great by any means. I think obviously we're 14th in the conference running the football right now. They're 7th. So, I mean, right now they're doing a better job. But again, it's only three short weeks, right? They've only really played Tennessee. So got to be careful looking at numbers. But they're running a little bit better than they did at least last year. Last year, I want to say they're near the bottom of the conference in rushing, which is very uncharacteristic of them. But you obviously know going into this game, I mean, they're going to be watching the tape. They saw Florida State was able to put 230 yards on us on the ground. I would imagine they're definitely going to look at, getting to their running game, at least testing it, especially with Tim Keenan banged up. He will be back, hopefully as close to 100% as possible. Simmons is playing some good football as a true freshman, but there's a difference between ULM, a Wisconsin team that had a pretty bad offense, and then going on the road and facing Georgia in Athens. So, our defense is definitely going to be tested. Another thing that people aren't really talking about is that technically, secondary-wise, we haven't really been tested at all, Reed, which is kind of interesting. Now, I know we got a lot of confidence in our guys, right? We got a lot of good players. But the fact is, we hadn't really been tested. You think about it. Florida State didn't throw the football too much when they did they actually did it pretty well, but they didn't drop back and throw a whole bunch. They really, you know, hit the running game hard. ULM, I don't know the numbers, what they tried to do, but it was ULM, right? And then Wisconsin, they ended up getting to their passing game, or trying to, I should say, and it was just bad, right? I mean, the outside of the late touchdown was a good play, good throw. They were not very effective. The quarterback was, you know, dropping gifts to Bray Hubbard, and offensive line play was bad. So I'm curious to see how our secondary looks in this game, because I know we have a really good secondary. I'm confident they go against arguably one of the best receiver rooms in the country on a weekly basis. But Georgia's got some really good skill guys. And, you know, again, I just know when things are going quick, it's a, you know, new team you're facing on the road. It's a new challenge, right? So that will be interesting in this game. But I think that the biggest key, obviously, first and foremost up front, man, you got to, you know, dominate line of scrimmage. You know, looking at Gunnar Stockton, got to find a way to contain him, right? Getting off the field on third down, that's going to be really crucial, especially playing a quarterback that can extend plays with his legs, man. You got to make sure that you're containing him, not allowing them to steal those first downs. Those are going to be crucial, especially in a matchup where, you know, things are close, right? I mean, we talk about a game of inches. This is one of those games, man. All those little details matter, right? Like those, you know, third downs where you have them stopped in the backfield, but you don't finish. Like those are the type of plays that you have to finish. Like in these games, you got to have those, right? Like getting back there is not enough, man. You got to find a way to get them to the ground, get them out of bounds, whatever you got to do. But you got to find a way to contain them, right? You got to play assignment football, play physical, bring that intensity over that we've seen. I think that'll be key. And then offensively, man, I'll be honest with you. I mean, watching Georgia against Tennessee, it's like I'm trying not to be deceived, but like there were so many opportunities through the air. And part of me is like, I understand that Tennessee's offense, and I said this going into the game, Tennessee's offense always poses challenges for Kirby's style of defense, or our former style of defense. You saw Coach Saban struggle with it. And part of that is, I mean, all the rules in that type of system that Kirby runs. Tennessee's offense creates so much conflict with their splits, the stacks, all the different things that they do, that I kind of expected Georgia to struggle. But I mean, really, if you watch, Reed, they're picking on number seven, that cornerback for Georgia. I mean, he was, I think, probably the one that gave up at least two of the touchdowns that that Tennessee had thrown. But I do feel like there is an opportunity for us to make some plays through the air. I genuinely believe that their secondary is probably a weaker spot on that defense. And so I expect that to be, you know, an emphasis in this game, especially the way Ty Simpson's been playing. However, I don't think the right idea is to go in this game plan just thinking, oh, we're just going to have Ty drop back and throw a whole bunch without trying to establish that running game, especially on the road. I talk about it all the time. I think AJ is about to talk about it in this clip that I'm going to play in a minute. But, you know, getting our running game going, I think, will be key in this football game, because you have to find a way. You can't be one-dimensional. As much success as we've had throwing the football, you don't want to become one-dimensional, especially on the road, especially against a team like Georgia, right, who's got better players, right? They're going to mix things up on defense. It's not going to be as easy, right? As great as Ty has looked, it's going to be another challenge. I think he still will have a good game, but you're talking about playing against better defenders, talking about playing against a coaching staff defensively that are known to bring pressure, mix things up, be aggressive, right? Knowing our offensive line, showing some inconsistencies, right? All those things are going to be factors that come into play in this game. And personally, I think that's going to be the key. You know, the guys up front, it is where it all starts, right? Can they allow us to have a little bit more of a running game than we've seen, right? Does Jam Miller coming back, does that provide a little bit more of a spark? That's not going to be everything. I'm smart enough to know, and I played this game long enough, it's not just the back. You need the guys up front. That's the biggest piece. But could him coming back at least give you a little bit more than what we've seen? I hope so, because I do think that's going to be something big in this game, man. Because I just know, you know, we'll make plays there regardless. But if you don't have a running game, if you become one-dimensional, all it does is it allows that defense and that staff to say, all right, man, we're going to dial it up, let our guys pin their ears back and get after it, right? Which, again, we got good players. We'll still make plays, but it's going to be a lot harder to do it consistently, right? Versus if you had a running game where they had to respect that, you know, then versus not having that, you're one-dimensional. It's a whole different ballgame. So And last but not least, another thing I think that is important, obviously we already know the basics of going on the road, right? Playing disciplined football, limiting the penalties, understanding there's going to be crowd noise, being prepared for that. Don't get frustrated. You might have a false start, right? It happens, right? But limit it, right? I think that's obvious that you got to pay attention to that stuff. But something that we hadn't really talked much about, I mean, special teams can be really important, right? When you talk about these really close games, those little details and those little things matter, whether it's field position, red zone offense/defense. Can you hold them to field goals in the red zone? Again, they've got good players. They're going to make plays. But can you secure this as much as possible, right? Limiting people to field goals makes a huge difference in a football game, especially when you got two really good teams playing. All these things matter. And I think they're going to show up in this football game, which I'm excited about. Again, just wanted to get to a little bit of a preview. We'll do a much deeper dive next week. I mean, we still got plenty of time. We're about to hit a timeout. We come back, I'll kind of put a bow on this little very early preview for this matchup. But next week, we'll definitely dive more into, you know, personnel, their players, stuff like that. We'll pull up the tape, all that. But I wanted at least this Friday give you guys a quick little idea of what I've been seeing. Again, I've watched Georgia, Tennessee a number of times now. Got to go back and watch the first couple games a little bit more. I've only kind of seen snippets, but I think it's going to be a good one. I'm hearing, allegedly, I don't know how true this is, Reed, something about a blackout, right? I know they asked about it yesterday. I don't know if it's true, because I also just heard that wasn't, like, official. That just was, you know, their fans saying they want to do that. I don't know. But I can tell you what, man, the stage is set. It's going to be a good one, man. You got a hungry Alabama team that's trying to continue their momentum versus a Georgia team that's coming off a close one in Tennessee, that's going, you know, returning home, a fan base and a team and a staff that understands Alabama's had their number for the last several years. They want their get back. It's going to be a good one. So I'm counting down the days. I'm looking forward to them. We'll keep giving you guys all the analysis breakdown that you guys want and need right here. But first, you got to hit a quick timeout. We come back, we put a bow on things right here on this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge Tide, 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
On this plan, home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay, debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. All right, I want to play this quick snippet real quick, building off what I was talking about, getting that running game going, setting everything else up, why it's so important. Here's AJ McCarron on their latest episode from The Dynasty, talking a little bit about that.
I know you got to establish a run game. I get that completely, but with what he's doing in the passing game, is that going to open up more things as you go along, or are they just totally separate?
Listen, I mean, the drop back passing game has very little effect on the run game. But when you look at a lot of their explosive pass plays have come from play action. And when you face these better teams, when we go into this gauntlet of SEC play that we're about to hit for about 6-7 weeks straight, you got to be able to run the football. And especially when you're playing on the road, and we're going to have some big road games coming up. I mean, in 2 weeks, you play in Athens. You got to be able to run the football some, because then if you don't, and I understand what Trent's saying about, you know, I do think Ryan's a better receiver out wide. I think this game proves that. The issue with that is when you face better teams, they're going to have a guy at corner that's going to be a first round pick probably, or a high draft pick, who's going to be able to match up with them. And then when you play a safety over the top of him, well, now it's just they're rolling zone coverage to him. Now it just makes it 10 million times harder to get him open, right? And where I was critical of him in the first game, and I've had people hit me up like, oh, you should. I'm not apologizing to to Ryan over it, because if anything, I challenged him because I felt like it was an effort issue in the first game. Never once questioned the kid. I know the kid. I think he's a great kid. I've said it a million times. I think he's an unbelievable player. Mm-hmm. And that's why my expectations for him are so high, because I know what he can, I know what he can do, right? He showed it a ton of the slot receiver in the Florida State game, the effort. I don't care about the drops as much. That's, you know, but to get back to your original question, I do think you got to be able to run the football when we get into this gauntlet, and it's only going to help, because you're going to run into these issues of playing these really good defenses, to where if you don't have a run game and they can play shell coverage against you, these pass plays versus good teams and these dudes running wide open, it very rarely happens, right? And then when it does happen, you got to be able to take advantage of it. But you got to have this run game come alive somehow, especially in Athens and in the weeks ahead. And hopefully they can figure it out.
So there you go. So definitely, you know, some good comments from AJ regarding that, kind of what we were just talking about. And to be determined, we'll find out in about a week, in a day or so, will that running game come back to life? Will Alabama show up the way we know they can? Will they show up like Jake mentioned in the chat, how they did, you know, after the bye week going down to LSU? Or will it be another one of those games where we're holding our breath and scratching our heads? We'll see. We'll see. And we'll talk plenty more about that next week on the show. Appreciate everybody this week. Appreciate Reed behind the glass. Appreciate Chase as well. All you guys on the stream, our Tide 100.9 listeners. Appreciate everybody that makes this show possible, all our sponsors included as well. Hope you guys have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you guys Monday when we really officially dive into this Georgia-Alabama matchup. Again, giving you guys an extensive breakdown, preview, all that good stuff. So be on the lookout for that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll see you guys then.